Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchrist.harrodsburg.com. You'll find these MP3 files of the radio broadcast. There will be 30-minute Bible videos on various subjects and a host of other things that will help you in your study of the Bible and some information about the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all of those services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you, just to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We have been looking for the past few weeks at the subject of the pattern of salvation throughout history. Today we're going to turn our attention to the New Testament, and we're going to look at the example of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearer is silent. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say of this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Now, this is the biblical account of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, what we want to see is that the same pattern that we saw in our previous examples from the patriarchal period and the Mosaic period is followed in the New Testament age, or in the Christian age. Here we see that the subject of God's grace is the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch has come to Jerusalem from Ethiopia to worship. So first of all, that tells us that he's a religious man. That's over a 1,000-mile trip. And so the fact that he came to Jerusalem to worship shows that he was a worshipful man and believed in God. We also notice that he is a trustworthy person because of the occupation that he has. He has the occupation of a treasurer of the Queen of Candace of Ethiopia. And so he's in charge of all of her treasury. So he'd have to be a trustworthy person. Now, as he was going there, he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him a question. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I except some man guide me?" And so he asked Philip to come up into the chariot and talk with him. And so he went up in the chariot and he explained the scriptures to him. Now he was reading from Isaiah 53, and he was reading verse 7 and 8 that prophesied that Jesus would give no defense and offer no explanation when he was falsely charged. He would not fight the charges, but he would remain silent and he would let them condemn him to death, even though he had done no wrong, even though he had committed no sin, had done nothing wrongdoing, deserving of death. He did not fight or he did not resist. And so it says in verse 35 of this text that he began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Notice in Acts 8:35, he began in Isaiah 53 and preached Jesus to him. Now, what is included in preaching Jesus? I don't know, but I know one thing that's included in preaching Jesus is one thing that many of the religious world says is not necessary for salvation, and that's the subject of baptism. Somewhere in the preaching of Jesus came the subject of baptism. How do I know that? Because of the question that the eunuch asked. They came to a body of water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" What provoked the question? Why did he ask about baptism? The only logical conclusion and the necessary inference is that somewhere in the preaching of Jesus, the subject of baptism was presented. If not, why did he ask the question? It's not in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the prophecy of the suffering servant. Doesn't mention anything about baptism. So it didn't come from Isaiah 53. It came from the preaching of Jesus. And remember what Philip told the eunuch. If thou believest, thou mayest. And he makes a confession in verse 37 that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They command the chariot to stand still. Both he and Philip went into the water, and he baptized him, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, what do we see? We see that the subject of God's grace is extended to a religious man, a man that had made a 1,000-mile trip to worship God in Jerusalem. And we see a man that is a sincere man, a religious man, because he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, probably from the Septuagint. And so here is a man that's religious. Here's a man that has a religious background, and yet he is still lost. And so Philip preaches to him. And then we see that the grace that God extends through the blood of his sacrifice of his son is extended to the eunuch by the preaching of Philip. And by the preaching of Philip, he understands his need for baptism. And then he obeys the command, and he's baptized, and he goes on his way rejoicing. We see obedient faith. If thou believest, thou mayest. He believes, and then he acts on his faith, and he's baptized into Christ for the remission of his sin. And then the grace that God promised that would be provided by the blood of the sacrifice of his son is obtained, and he went on his way rejoicing. Obedience is rewarded. We see the same pattern on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 obeyed and they were added to the church and they were told to repent and be baptized. And that's exactly what they did. And 3,000 of them were added to the church. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "In like figure now, where baptism does not now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God and the resurrection of Christ." What we see, ladies and gentlemen, is we see the same pattern of salvation in the new covenant. Grace is offered to the sinner. God's plan for obtaining that grace is obedience to the gospel. The grace is obtained by obedient faith to the instructions and the terms and conditions set by the gospel of Christ. And then when those conditions are met, that obedience is rewarded by salvation. You can look at all 9 conversions in the book of Acts. Every one of them ended the water. Every one of them were baptized. Every one of them heard the word of God. Every one of them had faith. Every one of them believed. And they confessed Christ. And they were baptized for the remission of sin. That is the terms and the conditions that God established for grace to be obtained. And when they did that, they obtained God's grace, his mercy, and the blood of his son, and their sins were washed away. Read Acts 22, verse 16, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And so what do we see, brethren? What do we see, ladies and gentlemen? We see the pattern of salvation throughout history is consistent. We see the subject of God's grace being extended to sinful men. We see God's plan for the sinner to obtain that grace. And we see that the grace is obtained by obedient faith of the one who is pursuing it. And then we see that obedience rewarded by God giving them salvation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've seen this in the case of Noah in Genesis 6. We have seen it in the case of Abraham in Genesis 12. We have seen it in the Passover, of the Israelites in Exodus 12. We saw it at the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. We saw it with Rahab in Joshua 2. We saw it with Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And now we have seen it in the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. A consistent pattern followed throughout history. Man sins. All men sin, Romans 3:23. All men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A man that says he has no sins a liar, 1 John 1, verse 8. God's grace is extended to sinful men. Grace that not by works, but by grace you have been saved. Grace is extended to men. Read Titus chapter 2, verse 11. But God's commandment and man's obedience is required in order to obtain the grace by the terms that he's established. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, it says that he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Obedient faith is how men become recipients of the grace of God. Now, I know that's a bad word to many of my religious friends who believe you have to do nothing in order to obtain salvation, that it's a gift of God, it's free. And if you do anything or require men to do anything, then you negate God's grace. Such thinking is false, it's erroneous, and it's not true. And what we have just examined in the last few weeks proves it, because we see a pattern of salvation that has been consistent throughout history in every example and case study that we looked at. Man has always needed faith and obedient faith to be in order to obtain the grace that is offered by God and to receive the reward that's attached to that grace by their obedient faith. It happened in every case that we looked at, in every example that we looked at in the scripture, in the patriarchal age, in the Mosaic age, and in the Christian age. This pattern is consistent. Now, what lessons can we take from that, ladies and gentlemen? We can take this lesson that God's grace is a gift. God extends that grace to man because all men sin and need God's grace. God has established terms and conditions in order for that grace to be obtained and to be used. And when that grace is obtained by their obedient faith to the terms and conditions set by God, then they receive the benefit and the salvation that they were seeking. This is not difficult, ladies and gentlemen. This is clear and easy to see. And it is there for anyone to examine. We pray and we hope that you will open your mind, open your Bible, and examine the things that we've looked at in the last few weeks. Look at them, examine them, restudy them, and you will see that God does have a pattern of salvation of grace extended to sinful man by obedient